Welcome to the Cloquet Vineyard. To find out more of who we are, go to cloquetvineyard.org. Thanks for listening and have a good and beautiful day.
We are continuing our series all about Advent. And if you have not had a chance to, if you weren't here last week, my lovely wife Nikki kicked off the Advent series. And I just listened to it yesterday on the way down to a basketball tournament. And it was so good. She has a sweetness about her, a depth about her that I just can't touch. So if you want to, it'll help give you some context what we're talking about today. They're all building off of each other. Because Advent, we're talking all about light. We're talking all about light building up to Christmas Eve. This is why you can clearly see our hip with it and wow lights, right? Because light has an effect on us. Light shapes really everything in this world. Because think about how light has surprised you. How many times have you stepped out of your house at night and you looked up and you were surprised by the moon, right? Where it looked like someone just dropped like this beautiful little circle into like this dark pool. If you've ever been to the mountains at night, I remember driving into the mountains to go see our friends, the Fulmans, and looking up, and it felt like an alien sky, that there were stars that I just never saw in Carlton, and Carlton is heaven. So I don't know what kind of world Colorado is in, or the sunrise. Like in our room, the sun comes right in, and I can see like that pinkish, bluish sky that feels like it's taunting me to another like beautiful day. Or when you're a kid, right? Like your light shapes even like your memories of when you used to build like that fort in the kitchen or with like your grandma's like wool blanket and how you could see the different shapes that come when you make your little homemade fort. I can remember the light on my bride's face as she walked down the aisle at Cloquet Gospel Tabernacle. I remember the light when my kids were born. My boys were born early in the morning, the sun pumping in, and Kira on a full night. It was absolutely a full night, but it was also a full moon. And what is it about light? What is it about light that captures us? What is a light that feels so beautiful? What about like a fire, a campfire you can be with family, friends, or complete strangers at KOA, and all of a sudden you're like old college buddies around this light? Like light can pierce through the stuff that we can just like shove down so deep because it works until it doesn't. And you can see the sun, you can see the light, you can see have something warm through the smile of your child, through the, like, the high five of your friend, through some beautiful piece of art. And all of a sudden it can pierce to something deep. It's almost like we are created for light. And last week, Nikki talked about how light can bring us hope, but light can also bring us joy. Like you can see light and it can bring something so incredibly beautiful. It can bring a smile to your face. Like I have a couple, right? So like what brings you joy? Maybe it's Ryan Gosling, right? Yep. Yes, please. It is absolutely, I want to see it right there. Yes, he is, looks just like me. So he gets it all the time. But man, you look just like Sodder. So maybe it's Ryan Gosling that brings you a smile to your face. Maybe it's chocolate cake, right? It could be like the perfect, there's a chocolate cake that's called Better Than Sex Chocolate Cake, all right? That has to be a pretty good piece of cake, right? That's a real thing. So maybe that's what brings you joy. Or maybe it's, what's next? It's the closet, right? Yeah. Maybe it's a perfectly organized closet. Who? Anyone else? Yeah. Let your freak flag fly, right? Let it go. For me, I will not, full confession, because Nikki's not here. So we have these junk drawers in our house. Anybody else have junk drawers? I am not a clean guy. I am not organized in any shape, way, or form. Zero. I open that junk drawer, and it's like the flames of hell come screaming out at me. I just shut it. I'm like, ignorance is bliss. Ugh. My son actually had to get something out there. So he opened up, and he like shielded my view with his body. I'm like, what are you doing? Like, suspicious. He's like, I don't want you to see it. I don't want you to yell. Right? I just hate that thing. Or maybe it's this. The Vikings are relevant. Right? Maybe that brings you joy. But you know what? For those of us here, what brings you true joy is what's next. That the Packers are not relevant, all right? Cheers. That's true. That's true. I have all sorts of ones. I have, like, I can hear Yo-Yo Ma. I talk about it often. My kids will play Yo-Yo Ma when I'm, like, coming up from the stairs because it makes me cry almost every time I hear it. And they play it, and they sit, like, and watch it, like, is he coming up the stairs? Okay. And it's like, whoa, no, whoa, whoa, whoa. I'm like, stop it. This is not fair, right? Or I can find joy in a glass of, like, a really deep, dry red of wine. Love that. I can find it through Jordan Sundberg's painting, and our paintings of graphic design. Like, it feels like it speaks something to me. But there's one of the many that I'd like to share, and it's a picture of my daughter. And this is one of my favorite pictures I have of Kira, and it's in my office. And don't even want to look at it. So the light of this picture, like how her feet are just coming off the ground, the motion and the energy in her dress and her hair and how her hands are out and how she is just dancing. Because she has no context, zero context of what's going on in the world. She doesn't know who Roy Moore is. She has nothing to do with what's going on with North Vietnam. She doesn't know anything about that there's fires burning people's houses and businesses. She doesn't know anything about, like, poverty or the world. All she knows is that there's something inside of her that says, I must dance, and so I shall. And whoever, I don't remember who took this photo, they just captured because it looks like she's even, like, floating. There's something about light that brings... that brings like a smile, that brings such rich joy to our lives. And why? Why can just light captured on a film, how can it bring such strong emotions? Because here's how it works. When we experience little pockets of happiness, it can throw these doors that we've never seen, these hidden doors, these little like entrances into this whole brand new universe of heaven itself, the kingdom of God. And when we see Ryan Gosling, we see my daughter, we see and hear that Yo-Yo Ma song, you see that painting, you see that piece of art, whatever it might be, and it hits something real inside of you and lets you know that we are created for so much more than just the moment. That there is a good and beautiful God who wants incredibly good things for us, not just later, but even now. That tomorrow has become today, the future has become present, heaven has come close. And because of that, there is this rich, deep joy. You see, there's a difference between happiness and joy. And it's easy to settle for happiness. And I'm a big fan of happy, right? I see the picture, I feel happy. Happiness can have us be like 6 inches off the ground, but the difference between happy and joy is that joy can let you soar. It can let you soar over like the pain that you're feeling this Christmas. Holidays, like we talk and we usually get nice big decorated and big fluffy things. And this year we wanted to make it really simple because for a lot of us, the holidays bring up really dark things as well. From family, not having family, from things that you thought, this is the year that we, it's the same story and this is not the year that we fill in the blank. But even in the midst of that pain, even in the midst of, like, what do I buy crazy Aunt Gary or Aunt Gary, all right? That's funny. And I stopped because I was going to say my actual aunt's name, and I didn't want someone to say, you know what, Chris called you. So what do you buy crazy Uncle Gary? And all that stress that comes with it, even then, there is a joy. Because happiness is like this chemical reaction, endorphins come, and those are good, those are healthy. But Jesus invites us, the divine is singing this song to help us soar over so much more that no matter what happens around you, see, happiness can begin and happiness can end. That's the way it works. Joy is not just about like having a good chuckle. Joy is not just about you smile all the time. Joy is not just pretending to be happy. Joy is something that no matter what happens in this world, it cannot touch your joy. Because it's not tied to a picture. It's not just tied to a glass of wine. It's not tied to another person. It's tied to the person of Jesus. And you've probably met people like this. Have you met people who have this rich joy? I have. And they're really not just like the, let's just pretend it's all okay because I want to talk about hard things. I want to really go home, right? That's not, real joy is people who have this light inside of them. And they've experienced incredibly deep and hard, dark things. And they still say yes to the kingdom. And I've been around, as a pastor, I've had, honestly, it's been a privilege to be around people in those darkest times of their life. And as they walk through it, they still say yes. I look at them and I'm trying to encourage them. I'm praying for them. And I, inside of me, I'm like, I don't know how you do it. Because they have tasted, once they have tasted and seen, they cannot untaste and unsee what they have seen. And that joy is what we're talking about today. Because there is this light. And the reading that the Advent reading we had was all about how this light came down. And because of that light, there is good news and there's great joy. So let's read it one more time. We're reading out of Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. And they were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, because I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people." I'll read that one more time. I bring you good news that will cause. I love that. News that has a cost. News that will have an actual reaction. It will cause great joy for not some, not the beautiful, but all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you, and he is the Messiah, the Lord, and this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." And when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who's lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they have been told. I love that. Nikki talked, and she shared with me today, like her goal, when she said her message is through reading the prophecy in Isaiah, was to not cry. Because when you read this story, there's like all these deep, beautiful treasures in all of it. Beautiful treasures. The first one is this, is that there is something unexpected that happened. I love reading the gospel narrative. I love reading through the biblical narrative of when God shows up, how people react reveals their worldview of God. Like we talk often here, because for me, it's very important. How you think about God matters, because how you think about God shapes the whole worldview of everything that happens physically, emotionally, and even spiritually. And you can see when something happens and people, God shows up, how they respond is very common, right? So if it was me and I'm this shepherd, I'm just doing my thing out in the field, and like I'm on Facebook on my phone, I'm just scrolling, and all of a sudden this light out of nowhere comes, I'm not gonna be like, "Oh yeah, I was expecting that," right? You'd what? You would freak out. You'd probably lose it. You'd be like UFOs, it's true, right? It's happening. Start running around. Like, this is like they said they were afraid. And when angels show up, it's very common for them to say, "Do not be afraid." But why are they afraid? Why are they afraid? Because, like, throughout the Bible, there's stories of God showing up. He shows up in a burning bush, he shows up in a pillar of fire, he shows up in this cloud that's floating on that's leading people. He shows up in a whisper. He shows up in front of the prophets. He says, "I'm going to reveal myself to you, but I'm going to protect you by only letting you see just a part of me." Like there's this threat of seeing the fullness of God. He says, "I need to protect you, so I'm just going to show you my back." And he passes by. So we've seen the divine, we've heard stories of the divine, we see it through the Bible, but like in every instance, it's just this like, it's like looking through this like, remember when you're a kid and you're like, you wanted to get outside and you got outside first and you're trying to get like your brother like, Dad, oh, come on, let's go. And you're like, look through the window, but because of the heat and the coldness, it's all foggy. So you keep using your dirty hands to wipe it. So it makes it even dirtier. And then your dad starts yelling. He's like, get away from that, go chop some wood. I'm like, yes, father. All right. And you're trying to look through that glass and you think you can see Dano, but you can't see if it's Dano or if it's Kate or it's Tina, and so you just like pound it harder, like you guys ever done that, right? You can kind of make it out something on the other end, and sometimes it's more clear, but still foggy. This is how we have seen God throughout the whole Old Testament. God will reveal himself in little bits and pieces. But now God reveals himself in a totally different way, and the angels show up and they say, do not be afraid. And why are they afraid? Because the divine doesn't show up like this. Joe Bigadomitz doesn't bump into the divine like at Walmart in the aisle, like reaching for the ketchup at the same time. Oh, sorry. Oh, hey, God, how are you? Right? You just don't bump into the divine. And here, out of nowhere, in unexpected time, unexpected place, God shows up. And it's because of this that we have this kind of joy. The reason we can have joy is because God showed up in a manger. And the angels are saying, they're essentially saying, there's this great news that will cause great joy for all mankind. Why? Because you can go down, as a sign to you, go down to this manger, and now you can actually hold the divine. You can smell the baby hair. You know the smell of baby hair? There's nothing better. The baby hair of God himself. You can even like little choo-choo-choo-choo to the divine, right? What do you guys do to babies, right? You can hear the divine laugh. You can hear the divine cry. You can watch the divine grow up and the way that he lives his life and find out what he loves and what he weeps about and what he wants to dance to and what he's fighting for and what he's championing and what he's distancing. The angel is saying, there is great joy. Why? Because we have a God who shows up in the manger. We have a God who shows up in the driveway before you get out of the car and thinking, I don't think I can do this anymore. I cannot parent a teenager anymore. Ever been there? Ever that before you get out of the car, those like 5 seconds where you're like, I could keep driving. Honestly, right? We laugh, but what do we honestly think? If we were honest, there's moments where you feel like there is no hope. There's no joy. There's a God who shows up in the hallways. You're walking down and you know around that corner is going to be the same group of kids and they're going to say the same three things they tell you over and over again. You're fat, you're ugly, and no one likes you. Right? There's a God who shows up in the hallway, friends. There's a God who shows up when you're trying to pay your bills and you're looking around and said, okay, who's not getting paid today? There's a God who shows up. There's a God who shows up in the dark night of your soul. There's a God who shows up as you're laughing with your friends late at night around the table. There's a God who shows up. And because of that, that is what the angel is saying. There is great joy because God has noticed you. And it's easy when we read the Bible, we can look at it and say, oh, he noticed them. He noticed, or the other people, like the people who are really in need. People will talk to me and they're like, I'm really sorry. I'm like, what are you sorry for? There's people who are probably way worse off than me. I'm like, what do you? You have a need. Well, you're in great company. And when you are in need, you're in the best company because that is when we can say, what I have, what I'm looking for, I need what? I need the divine. I need God. I need God. So joy then goes so much deeper than just a great moment. Joy goes something deeper than just like a great hair day, which is awesome. Joy now is tied to the divine who shows up. Man, I love that. So how do we do this though? If there's a God who shows up, how do we actually access this joy? Because it's a great idea, right? Like, hey, I would like joy. Give me some of that joy, Chris. And it's easy to think of spirituality as like a vending machine. And you got your quarters and you're like, all right, joy is what? C4. All right, C4. All right, and I'm going to put like one quarter and say, okay, I'm going to read my Bible today. I'm going to take a picture of it. on a wooden table with a cup of coffee. Right, that's good. Pump that in, right? And then I'm going to make sure I'm doing all the Ten Commandments, put another one in there. And then I'm going to text my friend and tell him, because Chris said I'm supposed to tell them what I like about them, so I'm going to do that again, right? And I'm going to laugh at all his jokes because that makes him feel better. That's true. So, right, then you... And we could put, like, we have this idea, as long as I do A, B, C, and D, and then I get joy, or I get healing, or I get my soulmate, or I get peace. And I honestly wish that's how it was. As long as you perform, you will always receive. And that is just not how it works. So how do we access this joy then? Well, the degree of what we actually have a belief of something that is good, to the level that we can trust that it can deliver, that it has actually like beauty and promise and hope and healing, is the amount of joy that we'll have. It's a word that we use in spiritual circles called faith, this mystical, mystical thing. But it's easy, like I talked earlier about, of I really like a glass of dry red wine. If I'm expecting that glass of wine to bring me deep, lasting, life-giving joy, my faith, my trust will go to the level that it can deliver. And wine, alcohol, it just can't deliver. Oh, it can deliver in like really short pockets of time where your friends think you're real funny, all right? But what about the next morning? It lets you down, right? And some of you here, you've shared your stories with me with your addiction, your battle through alcohol, and I applaud you for saying yes to your health. Some of us, we think, well, if I just go buy one more thing, it's going to make me feel good. And it does. I'm not lying, dude. It does make me feel good. But to like, I think my trust is in that cloth. If my trust is in that car. My trust is in, like, if I can lose 10 more pounds and that number on that scale, is it going to deliver? You bet it's going to deliver until grandma's apple pie shows up, right? And then that scale is going to change a little bit. So all those things are like, fine, those are healthy. Those can be healthy. Those can be good. But if my level of faith is in that to rescue me, that to bring me life, it will always let me down. So how do we have joy? It's this mystical thing of the divine, of stepping into and saying, I'm going to have faith. I'm going to have trust. Even though I don't have it all figured out, I'm so glad that like we don't have it all figured out. To my friends, to my mentors, my coaches, I've gone to them and I kind of want them to have the perfect answer. And they're like, yeah, I have no idea. I love that. There's moments, because why? Because I feel like I am normal. I'm normal. So when we can put our faith and our trust in that what? That there is a good God who what? Shows up. There's a good God who shows up. Then our joy is to the extent and to the level and to the degree that that being, that divine, can provide. And what can he provide? Look at the person of Jesus. We can see who God is through the person of Jesus. There's a God who notices. There's a God who moves towards us. There's this story of when Jesus tells about the parable son, with the son says, hey, dad, I hate you. Give me my inheritance. He runs away. He blows it away. He comes back. And his father says, throws this big party. But his older son is mystified and frustrated and angry, saying, I've been here the whole time, and you've never thrown me a party like this. Essentially being, I've done everything right. I've put the quarters in. I've played the game. And there's all this joy. There's all this energy. There's all this party, all this singing for the one who did not put the quarters in, Dad. And the father being this representation of the divine. And what he says to his oldest son, he says, son, everything I have is yours. And I'm with you always. Everything I have is yours. I'm with you always. We can have a trust. We can put our faith in a God who, even when we're angry and we're frustrated and we didn't get it right, who says, everything's yours. Joy. Joy then is not tied to those things I mentioned earlier. Joy is now tied to a God who tells us, I say it all the time, I've come to give you life and life to the fullest. But here's the thing. We'd like it, even though like, okay, it's this mystical thing, I'm put my faith in it. For really, I'll speak for myself. There's times where I'm like, hey, I put my faith in God. And like, I want it just to be one and done, right? And now I'm just like on the fast way to heaven, the fast track, what was the show called? Not fast track, highway to heaven, right? And I'm and I'm gone. I don't have to worry about anything. I'm trusted. He's good and beautiful, blah, 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 all right? But there's a guy named the Archbishop Desmond Tutu. He says this. If you guys, I'm going to hit pause. If you want to read a great book about joy, there's a book called The Book of Joy, and if Desmond Tutu and the Dalai Lama for like 1 week come together and a journalist sits down and just writes down everything that they talk about. It is so good. And out of that book, Archbishop Desmond Tutu says this: we grow in kindness when our kindness is tested. You can take out kindness and you can put our joy. Like the level of your joy is only gonna be when it's tested. And you might have your faith and your trust in God and your hope in God, and you're like, and it's gonna bring me joy because it soars above life until it what? Until it doesn't. And it's in those moments of where you screw it up. It's in those moments of where you're like, I want to trust God, and all of a sudden I experience pain. And I have this memory, I have this grief, or I have this falling out with my friend. And instead of leaning back into the divine, leaning into the kingdom, what do a lot of us do? We lean back to the chocolate cake and said, you will make me feel better. Right? That's like a normal thing to do. But if you're like me, and I know some of you here are, where I go, instead of like saying, oh, that is an opportunity for me to grow, I look at it as, I am a horrible person. Guilt and shame. Exact opposite of hope, peace, love, and joy. Exact opposite of like, I didn't do it right, I didn't perform, I screwed it up, and now I am the worst person ever. Just leave me in the corner and let me cry myself to sleep, right? But if we're in this kingdom, we have this God who's saying there is this joy, there is this news that will cause great joy, and there's life to the fullest. Instead of going to the guilt and shame, what I can do in this moment is saying, hey, I'm gonna learn how to say yes. This is just another opportunity for me to grow. And God, I'm going to confess, I'm going to repent, I'm gonna do all those things, but I'm not going to let what? That joy, because I messed up, it doesn't mean that joy is now gone forever. It doesn't mean I only get four chances, then I'm off the bus, I'm kicked off the team. There is this God who is saying, all of this is yours, and I'm with you always, every single time, if we're willing to what? Put our faith, put our hope, put our trust back in him. This Christmas, guaranteed you're gonna screw it up. I'm sorry, if you're here and you're a perfectionist, you're like, oh, don't tell me that, right? You're going to screw it up. You're going to like forget to send the Christmas card to one person. You're going to have a grammatical error in your Christmas letter, right? Some of you, that is just like death itself. Like, I sent that to everyone and I put the comma over here instead of over there, right? You're going to say something probably offensive or stupid at the Christmas party. You're not going to buy the right gift for crazy, what do I say, Aunt George, right? You're just not going to, Aunt Gary, that's what I said, Aunt Gary. But there is hope. And that life, that joy goes so much deeper than the worst thing you've done and so much higher than the best thing you've ever accomplished. So let me share with you just three things. Three things on this Advent of how we can grow in that joy. Because I don't know about you, but I love when people can say, here's like practical ways that you can step into this air, step into the stream of how we can grow in joy. Because I'm a big fan of joy. First one is this. You got to feel your breath. You got to feel it. And what I mean by that, and you can participate with me, is like you have to take deep breaths. Let's do it right now. Big, huge one until you can feel it, right? Feel it? Like I don't take deep breaths enough. Because like why, I don't usually feel my breath. Even though I was writing this down, I'm like, this is so weird. Feel your breath, right? It's like, right? It's just like, why don't I feel it? Because I don't slow down enough to take a deep breath where I feel it in my body, where I'm feeling it pulling out my chest, where I can feel it in my stomach. Why? Because I got stuff to do, friends. I'm a big, important person. It's got to go big, important things, right? I got to push people out of the way at the Mill Hill Mall. Right? I got to get there, right? I got red pants on. Get out of the way. Isn't that the truth? We feel like what I'm entitled to, what I love, what my business is way more busy than your busy. What I love is way more important than what you love. What I need to get, my kids are significantly more important than your children. Give me that, right? Whatever it might be. We just hurry, hurry, hurry. And Advent is meant, it is actually created for us to pause and not do, but just simply be. Not do, but simply be. So when we can take deep breaths and just slow down, Remember what Aaron Rodgers said? Right? He said, just relax. Listen to the Rodgers, right? Just chill out. So what brings you anxiety this holiday season? A lot of us, we don't want to dial that up. What brings you pain? What makes your heart go pitter-patter, pitter-patter, but in the wrong direction? Like, dial that up, because it's there. And that does not need to be a threat to this good and beautiful life. It does not need to be a threat to this joy. But if we never take time to slow down and pause and take deep breaths and actually let that, like, rest in us, let it sit and make us uncomfortable. Imagine putting on the table and looking at it. We can never grow. If we pretend like, that will not hurt me, that's not me, ignorance is not bliss, we have to be able to see it. The next thing then is this. Once we can slow down, then we need to be able to look for the light. You gotta be able to see the light, because friends, it is everywhere. That light is everywhere you go. I love in Proverbs of how it talks about of how there is, like, all of heaven, the wisdom, the prudence, and the joy, and the life is baked into all of creation. Like, in you is this light, like right now. Around you, heaven is everywhere. And if we're too busy, if we just keep going on and we just put our head down and we keep going, we'll miss out. Because for a lot of us, it's really easy to fill in the blank of saying, God, when you do blank, then I'll know you're true. Or if God, you do blank, then I'll really be happy, or I'll be content, or it'll make Christmas good. And when we do that, we say, well, God, you will, and we get locked in and saying, okay, you have to come, and whatever it is, you have to come and give me my soulmate. You have to come and heal my knee. You have to come and make sure I don't have any more anger towards my partner. If we just limp, and again, pray for all those things, but it's so easy to get locked in, and then until we see that, we just, how Rob Bell, he talks on what if the burning bush was always burning? What if it was always there and Moses just kept walking by? I love that. How many times has God been speaking to me? How many times has the light been coming from the heavens and I'm too busy going over here doing big important stuff? Slow down. Be willing to be surprised by heaven. The word I love using is get curious of what God's doing. And the last one is this, and this is where we end, is simply invite people into that light. And I love this one. Invite people into the light. And a lot of times in spiritual communities, when we talk about invite people into the light, we tie it to invite people to church. And I get a big fan of you inviting people to the Cloquet Vineyard, right? But it's so much bigger than that. The word that in Christianese that we use is called evangelism. And you hear that word evangelism, and very few of us do we feel like, yeah, let's talk about it. A lot of us are like, oh, I got something to do. Right? Evangelism is just telling the good news. The gospel is that there is this incredibly good news that causes great joy. So when you invite people in light, once you see heaven, once you see the divine, once you see something that you love, simply just share what you love with other people. That's what it means. When you're experiencing something healthy, you see one of Jordan Sundberg's prints and you're like, I love this. Like, share that with someone else. If you have a great piece of cake, invite your friend, invite your neighbor over and listen to her, of her stories, how she met her husband 50 years ago and they've been married longer than you've been alive. I love that, all right? And cry with them and laugh with them. Because here's what so many of us think. We think, no, I don't have to invite people into the light. I don't share what I love when it comes to anything, even spirituality. Why? Because that's for like the super Christians. That's for like the professional Christians. I'm not even like mid-level management, right? I'm like the person who like saw there was a party and I snuck in the back door and I just grabbed my glass. And I just hope no one notices me. Like, just don't make eye contact. Just sit down and do this dance, right? Because if someone asks me, what are you doing here? You don't belong here. Get out. You're not in this club. Get out of here. That's how a lot of us feel. But this story tells something different. Because the divine, heaven itself, shows up in light and descends on one group of people and their shepherds. Who got heaven? Who got the divine? The shepherds. What did the world get? They got shepherds. Divine speaks to shepherds. Shepherds speak to the world. Sometimes we think, well, no, I can't talk about something beautiful. I can't talk about heaven. Heaven only shows up to the beautiful, rich, powerful people. And here is like, if you want to talk about a Joe and Jill bag of donuts, you're talking about those shepherds. And they walk into town, they see the divine, they see Emmanuel, God with us, and they turn around and they walk around and telling people what they love, what they have seen. When you share your story, when you share like a cup of coffee, when you share something you love with other people, what you're experiencing is joy. So my friends, this holiday season, this Advent, let's slow down, let's look for the light. And let's just like in real easy ways, just share what we love with the people around us. And when we do that, people experience that happiness we talked about. And behind that happiness is a whole universe of joy. Let's stand. Man, I could talk about that all day long. Some of you here are feeling like you identify with the shepherd part. You're like, I'm just a shepherd. I am no one special. And I just want to tell you before we pray that that is a lie. Maybe you're here and you just feel like, I am just a mom. I'm just a mom. Or you're here and you're just a man who's just at work, and all I do is go to work, I come home, yell at my kids, go to bed, wake up, do it again. Wherever you're at, God is a big fan of you. So also when I'm praying, I just want to especially make a note to, if you're here and this holiday season really, instead of the joy, is the desolation, it is the pain, and that's just where you are, like your pain is valid, your pain is real. And I'm going to pray, not just like, will you smile more? I'm going to pray that that light would ascend on you as well. So let's pray. So Holy Spirit, will you come? And I love the way you love us, that you are willing to come down, and even like one angel with this light turned into the whole entire sky of revealing what heaven feels and looks like and sounds like just to an average everyday shepherd. So I ask that you would do that even now with us. For my friends who are walking through grief, my friends who are walking through pain, my friends who are walking through loneliness, will you come? I also pray for my friends who are walking through joy, my friends who are walking through it now where things are going really, really well. The thing I love about you, God, is that like your love, your light shines on everybody. And so we just say thank you. And that joy will help be able to put our faith in a good and beautiful God that will go so much deeper. And any other things that we're putting our hope, our faith in, we just say no. We say no. We put our hope and our faith in you. So God, give us what we need so that we can access and experience that joy that helps us soar. We love you. Amen. I'm going to welcome up our ministry team. These people who are for you, who want you to experience that good and beautiful God. And we pray for each other because it's sometimes what you need. You just need another person to stand with you and say, me too, and pray for you. And there's two things I'm going to invite you to pray about. First one is this. You need some joy, obvious. You just need some joy or hope, and you just don't know what to do. You don't know how to access that. The people up here would love to pray for you. And the second one is this. It's what I prayed. You're doing amazing. Sometimes when we get to ministry, you can talk about the painful, and it's true. Some of you here are like, I'm doing great. Like, I have a smile on my face and a song in my heart, a spring in my step, all that stuff. You're maybe just doing good enough. A way that you can respond is just by saying thank you. Just by saying thanks. And you can do that through, we're going to worship for the next couple minutes. You can come up for someone else, and you just want to say, hey, I would like just to say thank you to God. You can do it right where you're at. If there's anything else in your life you'd like prayer for, the people up here would love to pray for you. Have a good and beautiful day, and we'll see you next week.